promotion is worth so much more than the money.
Content is still king.
Social media is completely your brand.
The social media is acting as a catch net.
Welcome back to the Music Marketing Podcast. We're finally back. We got some microphones sorted, didn't we?
Yeah. It actually took a long time to find some microphones. They all just sold out in seconds. Apparently everyone wants to start a podcast.
Yeah, I know. I think that's mainly our fault, telling everyone to start a podcast, and then we get angry that people buy all the equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're actually day, 84 or something in lockdown now, which is crazy. How have you been finding it so far?
Not too bad. I think I've been speaking to you a lot about it and how I'm just seeing this as a time as like resetting everything and understanding about what's important to yourself. And it's a time to like go into lockdown, and now you've got all this free time, no distractions. And I think a lot of people are finding like they always said that they would do this, this, and this if they had more time. And then now they've got that time. They're finding it, they're not doing it. So now is the time to go and do something really cool. And for me, I just saw it as a time with no distractions, self-development, come out of this better than when we went in. And that's it, really. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'm kind of been similar. At the beginning, I was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this because I'm such a people person. I love being around people.
Mm.
But the more, like, we're like 3 months in now, and it's just become the norm.
Yeah.
And like, like you said, there's no distractions. You can focus on what actually matters and the people that actually matter, which I think is great. I mean, I speak to artists every single day, sort of, whether they want to work with us or whether it's just on socials. And it's been a real mix. Like, some people have said that they've been more creative than ever. But then there are tons of people that are saying they just can't get creative. They don't feel they have that drive as much. And I kind of get both, because a creative environment is not being in four walls constantly and not being by yourself. Like, you want to bounce off ideas with people. But at the same time, being by yourself means that you can just sit and focus on the music and what you want to do. And I think we've seen a lot of artists doing that at the moment, sort of pushing themselves to create content, pushing themselves to release more music than ever. I mean, I think it's a strong time for independent artists.
It is, yeah. And I thought it was very interesting the reaction the music industry had to the coronavirus and lockdown. And it showed up in musicians what they knew what they should have been doing this whole time. So I don't know what you observed, but I noticed that a lot of artists, and those bigger artists, suddenly they started creating more content, doing Instagram lives, pushing to sell merch, starting to interact with their fans more. And I thought it was really interesting to watch how they reacted to it. And I found it was interesting that those artists that were used to creating content on a regular basis, they were the ones that are able to continue it and come out on top.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it's pushed artists who are being creative anyway to just be more creative and post more. It also means that artists can't rely on anyone else. So if you look back to what, like, even just a couple of months ago, artists were hiring people to post for them on like their behalf on social media, or they just post a press short, or they just post their artwork. And now none of that can be done. You can't have a photographer taking pictures of you. You can't have a team working directly with you to sort of upload content, because they're not with you constantly to make that content. So you're just seeing raw content being pushed out more than ever, and it's getting engagement. I think artists I've seen doing it fantastically are Tom Grennan and Nina Nesbitt.
Yeah.
They've both been so creative. Tom Grennan's like constant on socials, and he's doing loads at the moment with his dad, which is just so
real. I've seen it.
And people are loving it. Yeah, it's great. And then Nina Nesbitt's doing more music-based stuff. So she's creating songs out of voicemails from her ex. She's done tracks out of like household, just random bits in her kitchen and stuff like that. And I think it's just pushing people to be more creative than ever, and their audience are loving it. And then those that aren't doing it aren't seeing any sort of growth or even engagement from their audience that they did have, because they're not showing that they care about their audience.
Mm. I held my hands up when Lewis Capaldi got big and said I discovered him through his amazing content. Nina Nesbitt now is the one for me to come up and be as big as Lewis Capaldi, just because of her natural ability to create content. It's like effortless for her. And she's able to create a rapport with her audience that no one else is able to do. And it's what that's shown to me is that a lot of artists will say that they don't have the opportunities to create content because their life is boring. And look at what Nina Nesbitt has to work with. She's got a house and a dog. That's it. Mm. And it's a great dog. I don't know if you've seen the dog, but I'm in love with the dog. But she is able to create content naturally and just get into the swing of it. And I watch some of the things she puts up is just nothing. And people often criticize social media for people being engaged with just nothing, and it's a load of crap. But some people just want to watch a load of crap, myself included. And it is growing the audience, and she got a new follower from that. And now when she's got a new release, I'll be hot on it and be someone who is likely to listen to it. And if she's selling tickets, I'm likely to go and see her live because I feel like I know her on a personal level.
Yeah, there's two things she's done which I think are fantastic. One is being able to reuse content. So if you look at her Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, it's just taking the same stuff. So the track she did using her ex's voicemails, she posted on TikTok initially, then posted on Twitter. And I think the caption for Twitter was something like, "Well, this is a load of shit," which
I like that.
So real.
Yeah.
And then she posted it on Instagram, whether that's the feed or Instagram TV, depending on the length. And it's just being able to reuse that content but grow an audience on all of those platforms. So I knew of her music, but I didn't follow her on anything.
Mm-hmm.
I discovered her on TikTok through one of those videos and then followed her on other platforms. And it's just reusing content. So that may have taken her a few hours to do, but then she can use it for every single platform and edit it down shorter so she can use it multiple times. Another thing that she's done... Sorry, go for it.
I was going to say, which platform do you think is her source content? Do you think it's TikTok or Instagram first?
Yeah, so I think she started on Instagram, which most artists do, but you can tell that her editing and like the timing and even the actual content itself works better on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of really fast-paced editing, like hooks you in the first 3 seconds. Not always the most visually pleasing, but it's just interesting, which I think works really well on TikTok.
Do you think she knows what she's doing? In terms of...
Was actually going to be my next point. 100% she knows what she's doing. And the reason for that is I didn't realise that song she did where she said, "I made it out of an ex's voicemail," or I think it was like, "I wrote this because someone cheated on me," something along those lines. She released that track months ago. It was a way of giving the audience the narrative. It was a way of showing them why they should care about this track.
Mm-hmm.
And... As someone discovering that for the first time, you are intrigued. You are interested. You think, well, this is different. Like, this is relatable. This is something funny. Like, there's a way to go in and reach a new audience without just straight up plugging the track. And I think she did that in an amazing way whilst in lockdown, completely stuck. I think it was fantastic.
And same for the something happening in the first 3 seconds. Do you think there's something there, or do you think it is just natural?
I think it's hard to tell because I think people are starting to understand that naturally now, as everyone is a consumer as well as a creator. So you know that if you spend time on TikTok especially, you scroll so quick that if something's not happening in that first 3 seconds, you're gonna stop. So I think she probably has learned that from being on the platform quite a bit. But it's very hard to tell whether she's done that on purpose or not, because you have no idea what's going on behind the scenes, whether she's got sort of... someone in the marketing team assisting with stuff, or whether she's just sat in her flat. It looks like she's just sat in her flat and she loves doing it, and that's it definitely shows that she's enjoying it.
I think the lesson for me in us creating content and watching artists create content is you have no idea how much you're going to learn by starting to create content. So for example, the reason I asked whether she knew about the first 3 seconds and things, I think a lot of the time people find out that that is the way to do it after they've started doing it. So you start creating content and no one watches it, and you start creating something different and then a few people watch it. And then by the time you've created about a month or 2 months worth of content, you don't even have to analyze it that hard to know what works, what is you, what you're comfortable with. And I think for any artists listening, the answer isn't to try and take our tips and say, okay, I need something to happen the first 3 seconds, the first 10, like the next 10 seconds, and then something to get the like. That is us saying that's something to keep in mind. But if you can find your own way of doing it just by creating content, then there is no other replacement for it. If you can just start today and start posting, then there are just so many possibilities of things that you can create.
Yeah, and I also just feel like there's no real hack. There are tons of tips that we give and we know work, but nothing's going to hack any algorithm to a point where you are going to be sort of an arena filling artist or charting artist if you are not naturally sort of good at doing that or you actually enjoy doing it. I think you can just sniff it out so much when an artist is being told to do something on socials, whether that's from management, label, a marketing team, because as consumers, we can tell. I think people, especially a younger generation, they've grown up with social media to a point where they don't engage with ads if it's straight up selling to them. They don't like when there's like product placement, all things like that. They can just sniff out. And I think it's the same for artists. If they can see that an artist is doing it to get more sales, they're just not going to be invested.
That is something new that I found.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Most recently is that artists not being themselves and not being their true self, being someone that they think their audience wants them to be. And even with just one post of them, say, sunbathing in the garden or shopping or something like that, you can feel the authenticity on whether it's real or not. And you have to know for real to your core that this is you. And as you say, the minute you try to manipulate your audience or even try too hard to get them to like you, you just have to accept that if a certain proportion of your audience doesn't like you, let them go and allow those who are going to agree with you and are going to like you to find you and let it happen naturally, because that will be your core audience. Those will be your most dedicated fans. So when you do start creating content, don't think about your audience and what they might think. Think, is this me? Is this one of what I want to create? And then you can start analyzing afterwards what works and what doesn't. But as long as you've got a collection of things to analyze that is true to you, then you're going to be successful.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I also think that if you're doing things to please other people, you get stuck. You're at a point where you can't enjoy creating things, but you also can't consistently do it. You can't consistently put out content or music that doesn't feel natural or that you enjoy doing, and that's just your worst nightmare. You're stuck with that.
So you on your personal Instagram, Maddie_bestmel, I'll give you the plug.
Thank you.
Had a series of artists that are smashing lockdown on your stories. What kind of things have you seen? Because we often say, kind of talk conceptually, and I think it's really useful for artists to know like what others are doing and examples. Can you think of any other examples worth mentioning aside from Nina Nesbitt and Tom Grennan?
Yeah, so another artist that did a really cool piece of content during lockdown was The Magic Gang. We actually found this from our in-house graphic designer, Heidi. She sent it across, and basically what they'd done is they'd recreated the theme tune to Arthur, like a cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
That was like in my childhood, I'd say. I don't even know if Arthur's still a thing, the cartoon.
I don't know.
No idea. But yeah, they recreated the theme tune, but in their style. So sort of like an indie pop chilled sound. And that was fantastic. They put that on Instagram TV and the engagement was insane. People were tweeting them being like, this needs to go on Spotify. And they for the piece of content, they just ripped the intro to the actual cartoon. Mm-hmm. So you had visuals to go alongside it. It didn't feel pluggy at all because they weren't promoting themselves or their music. They'd just done something which was cool and creative. And then another thing they also did is they got people to send in sort of love notes to whether that's an ex or a current partner or someone they want to be with. And they wrote personal love songs about 30 seconds long and tweeted the person that wanted it so that they could send it to one of their loved ones. And I thought that was such a cute thing to do, but also that's got amazing. Tons of engagement because people thought, wow, I'm getting a song personally written for me. And this isn't just an emerging artist that thinks, oh, I want more fans. These people, like this band have charted, this band have millions of streams, and they're doing it to engage an audience. They're not doing it for sales or anything. They're doing it for their fans. And I thought that was another amazing piece of content. And it was done during lockdown because they probably had nothing better to do. And they thought, how can we create content right now?
What was that
and
on again?
I think that's a Instagram. Perfect example. Instagram. Yeah, they did it on Instagram TV. And then the love songs they actually tweeted. I think Twitter's been fantastic at the moment for artists. People are jumping in conversations a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Grennan's another great example of someone on Twitter as well. He gets involved in a lot of conversations.
I actually have a new stance at the moment where I'm saying a lot in my videos, in my content, in my posts that I think Instagram is starting to become one to ignore for artists and let it be that kind of byproduct of your followers are that byproduct of something you're doing on other platforms. So whether it's Twitter, whether it's TikTok or YouTube, they all have discovery algorithms which allow people to discover you. And I know that Instagram has the explore page, but I don't go on the explore page. Actually, I did notice they are going a bit more. They've kind of ripped off TikTok, haven't they?
Yeah, they're doing a lot. They're bringing in a dance thing as well, same as Facebook, just ripping off TikTok.
Yeah, and that's because they know that TikTok is going to win because they've got the algorithm where you do something and people can discover you. And on YouTube, they've got an algorithm. They've got suggested videos, the homepage, and Twitter. If someone likes or retweets your post, there is a chance that other people are going to see it as well. And you can't get that on Instagram. So I know Instagram is great for clout. It's great. Everyone wants to have followers on Instagram. The brand deals are on Instagram. But the only way to truly grow on Instagram is through word of mouth. I'm not even sure if hashtags are working at the moment.
Yeah, so I couldn't agree more. I actually feel like I don't know what the purpose of Instagram is anymore. So if you look at every single app that's a purpose, so YouTube, you go to either be educated, entertained, like you want to know the behind the scenes of someone. Like every video on YouTube has a purpose. So you go on there with something in mind, basically.
Yeah.
TikTok, you go usually to be entertained, also just to waste time. I think people love wasting their time on that platform.
Yeah.
Instagram, where do you sit? It used to be that you'd go to see sort of visually pleasing stuff. So whether that was pictures of people's foods or people's holidays, people are now posting less on the feed.
Yeah.
So you're getting more of the behind the scenes stuff on Instagram stories, which is fantastic. But people are now quite often tweeting that. And they're also not being as consistent with their uploads on Instagram because people are just getting frustrated with that algorithm. There's no consistency to it. You can't tell whether your post is going to reach all your audience and why one post would reach all your audience and why one wouldn't. Like, it's so, so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I personally have sort of lost the love for Instagram quite a bit. I love stories. I think it's great. But I think there's just pressure with that platform to post constantly to fight with that algorithm.
Yep.
Whereas others, YouTube, you could not post for months. But if you post one high quality video, it's likely it's going to reach more people. Same as TikTok. I completely get what you're saying. And I think artists are getting a bit frustrated with it. I mean, they've tried going live. They've tried different story techniques. Like, what else is there to do on it? It's not really adapting as much as the other platforms are.
Yeah, you mentioned going live there. And I'm sure you know where
should we talk about that one?
You know where I'm going with this because, my God, this frustrated me so much when lockdown first happened, which was artists lost all of their live income. They had shows booked and it went. And that was a disaster for the music industry.
Yeah.
The reaction of a lot of artists was to then take those shows and put them live on YouTube and Instagram.
Yeah.
And the logic behind that was that the word live on Instagram was the same as watching live music. And I don't know how this happened, but artists decided that that was just a direct replacement. People want to see things live. And really, being live on platforms is to be able to interact with those content creators live. You can ask them questions. You can see what they're like as people. You can see if things are going to go wrong. But when I go to see a live performance, the fact that it's being performed live isn't the novelty. It's the feeling it gives me in my bones to be watching this and
it's
feeling
It's like feeling that bass in your chest, feeling like the people around you singing along.
Yeah.
It's like having drinks with friends. It's like the same environment as sort of like going clubbing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work to just replace that by just putting a screen in between you.
And
I think if you're going to go live, there needs to be a reason, and just to sit and perform to your fans, then why can't they just listen to you instead? What's the difference? That's what a lot of artists are lacking there.
And the quality, the platforms have to be able to compress the audio to be able to make it live, because broadband isn't strong enough yet to be able to have that audio quality across the platform. So watching an artist play tracks live and it's stripped back, and lockdown meant that only one band member could be there, it wasn't good. It just, and and I think they've figured that out now, because I'm not seeing them go live. Like, I'm sure you remember in the first 2 weeks of lockdown, my Instagram at the top was just like live, and everyone was competing. And for some reason, to my frustration, all of the emerging artists again copied the bigger artists, and and they copied their bad habits, not their good habits. You have to look at what is working for emerging artists, not look at what the big artists are doing. Just because they're big doesn't mean that they're doing everything right. So it is not, going live is not a direct replacement. I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of when you go live, it is for a reason. It is for something special, to allow people to interact with you directly and get to know you as a person. That's what we do when we go live. It's special because you get your question answered by us completely live. And if you're not following the Burst of My Instagram, a good time to plug to follow us on Instagram, because we do go live quite often and answer questions live.
Out of interest, did you watch any artists' lives during lockdown? I mean, we're still in lockdown. Have you, have you got any plans to watch any?
No, only I would only watch to just be absolutely shocked at it and the decision.
Yeah.
I would love to see artists doing something live. Youngblood.
Yeah, he smashed
amazing. It. That YouTube live he did was amazing. And I suggest everyone goes and watch the behind the scenes of what went into that to make it special. He did something special for his fans, and he made it live and made it different. And he admitted that the audio quality, I think, wasn't going to be that good. They knew that. But it was what was happening in the show itself that made it special. The fact it could go wrong, the amount of rehearsals that went into it. So he absolutely smashed it. Did you see his music video that was in one take?
No, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, so it's the track was called... oh, my video is frozen. The track was called It's Weird or Weird Times or something like that.
Okay.
And it's in his house in lockdown in California. And what he did was... I'm just going to restart my video. One second. And what he did was he got a cameraman and he did a full music video of him in his house in California, all in one take. So it starts from him in his driveway singing to the camera, and then he sings throughout his house, all the way through the hallway, through the living room, to the kitchen, up the stairs, climbs onto the roof of his house, and then the band are there waiting for him, playing, and then he does a live That's performance great. On the top of the rooftop in California. And firstly, the people listen to the track because he wrote it in lockdown. So that was cool. It's about coronavirus, living in weird times. And it was all in one take, so it was something a bit special, something worth watching. And I think that really... leads me on to a point that I say a lot, which is when you are doing a music video, you have to give people some reason to watch as an emerging artist. You can't just be a big artist and do a really cool music video and expect people to care. Having something like that that makes it different, people are now out there doing it right before our eyes, and artists need to take notice of that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think his YouTube live was one of is the best live I've seen, because it wasn't there with the purpose to be like, watch me perform live. It was there to entertain, and it still did sort of give you that feeling of watching a gig live, because of the energy and the way he spoke to the camera. Was it felt like you were there. And everything was just so planned. And another artist I actually watched an Instagram live of was Fletcher. And she was releasing a track at, it was dropping at midnight, and it was also her birthday, and she just got so drunk
on Instagram Live.
And she, like, I think she randomly brought her girlfriend to do in a shot, and then she was like picking people on Instagram Live to do a shot with her. And then she was so drunk that she was singing along to the track. And then by the time the track dropped, she went off Instagram Live, and I wanted to listen purely because she spoke about it, but in such a chilled way. It was so honest. I felt like I was her friend just having a chat with her. And that was a, that's another example of she didn't go on there to promote her track. She went on there just to have drinks with her fans and just chat. And you felt so connected with her. I think if you have an audience and you want to go live, that's the best thing to do. Just speak with them and just be honest with them, because that's probably more what they'd want rather than sitting watching a full set, because they can just listen to your tracks on Spotify.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I feel like now this is an amazing time for emerging artists to get ahead of the game now, because it's leveled the playing field. So you had all of the Spotify playlists completely filled with the regular same old artist. Everyone went and followed and talked about the regular same old artist. That's gone now. So now Spotify playlists, I'm watching new artists come through and get selected, because the bigger artists aren't releasing. They're saving the tracks till after lockdown because they want to be able to play live and make the money that way. And then it's completely leveled the playing field in terms of content, because they are just as good as creating content as you are right now. They weren't used to doing it. They kind of knew they should have been doing it, but they were getting by. They were making a living. They were selling out gigs. They were getting festival bookings without doing it. And now, level playing field. This is it. It's square one, and you guys can now go and overtake them and get your audience from them, because you can go and do something and prove that you are a better artist and someone who's worth following, because everyone is spending more time on social media now.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. What are your predictions for when lockdown ends? Do you think there's going to be any changes to the industry? Do you think, like, because for us, we've seen massively people are more accepting of creating content, but also putting out raw content and not so focused on looking polished and professional. Do you think that will stick?
Yes, I do. But probably for different reasons. I have a feeling that it was going to happen anyway, but this lockdown has sped it up. So it's acted as a catalyst to that, because they have to create raw content, and now that they're noticing it's working. But those that were creating content anyway before lockdown have just ended up thriving in this kind of atmosphere. And I don't think like live shows are going to come back insanely quickly. They're probably going to be the last things to actually come back after lockdown. Yeah. So we've still got quite a long way to go. And I think my predictions are that everyone's going to start releasing music again. People are still releasing music. And also, we saw an article to say that more chilled out music and the type of music that is being released is actually being affected in lockdown. So we're seeing more chilled tracks being released during lockdown, because everyone's just chilled and doesn't want to be hyped up all the time, or isn't driving or doing active things. And I find that quite interesting as well. So some artists are even changing their genre.
I also think that the raw content is more likely to stick because the embarrassment is gone. So we far too often heard people saying, like, I want to look professional on socials. If a booking agent or a label goes to my socials, I want to show that I'm professional. And now, obviously, that's not possible because not everyone's got access to a photographer and videographer in quarantine. So everyone's posting this raw content, and especially the larger artists. So as emerging artists do often follow, they aren't as embarrassed. They're just seeing it as an opportunity to just post what they want when they want. Like, you've got some of the largest artists in the world just singing in their garden.
Yeah.
And if that's not real raw content, I don't know what is. And also, people are actually accepting TikTok finally. Through lockdown, TikTok hit 2 billion downloads, which is insane. And I think people are just accepting it a lot more. Larger artists are going on there, even if they are posting the wrong content or just reusing content from Instagram, at least they're getting on it. But that's why I think emerging artists should be on it as soon as possible, because it's going to get to a point where it's overtaking Instagram, it's overtaking most other platforms. And if you're competing with a major label artist that has tons of content sort of already on YouTube and Instagram, which they can just edit into TikToks, then obviously they're going to get larger reach. So I think the sooner everyone's on it, the better.
Yeah, we're seeing it now. And the way people are viewing TikTok as well, the fact that you can choose the content that you put onto it, it's really interesting to see. And the one thing I want to say about TikTok is everyone uses it with the sound on. And with Instagram, everyone uses it with the sound off. And if you are an artist, you want people with the sound on. So don't just rule out TikTok as an option for you. It should actually be the number one for your marketing strategy right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I also don't think it should be used as like a way to promote music. It's to be a way to promote you as an artist and build your brand. There are plenty of artists at the moment that are charting, that are growing their Instagram following, just growing an audience purely from posting TikToks. JC Stewart is doing it well. There's, oh, I can't remember her name, but there's a guitarist that I found on the platform. And she basically just does like guitar covers and stuff. I went across her Instagram. Turns out she actually does release music. I check on Friday and she's on New Music Friday. And it's not a coincidence. They look for people that are bringing in an audience. Yeah. And that was before YouTube and Instagram. And I still think it is. If you have an audience on there, it's going to help you. But TikTok is one which all people in the industry knows can get people viral within a matter of days, can get music viral in a matter of days. So everyone's looking at it.
What do you think about
it? And I think it's for everyone as well. I don't think it's just for certain artists. So many people are like, I'm a rock artist. This doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Just because you've downloaded the app and it's some teenagers dancing doesn't mean that's what is the only content on the platform.
That is a problem for the app, I think, at the moment, because they probably somehow need to fix that, because it does put people off when you go on there and it's like 16-year-olds dancing.
I know.
How do they fix that? They have to just vary the content because you...
Yeah, so I think they can quite easily do it. So do you know when you join Twitter, and you also do it with Instagram, and you tick boxes of what you like and they give you suggestions of what to follow? They don't do that on TikTok. What, you don't even need to make an account to start TikTok. You can just download the app and start going through the For You page. And the issue with that is like the most popular trending content will stick there first, which quite often is dancing stuff and pranks and all things like that, because the initial audience for TikTok was Gen Z. Which isn't the case anymore. Of course, it is heavily Gen Z, but it's a lot more. There's tons of older generations on there as well. But I think if they had some sort of way of when you log in, you tick what you like so that you can at least have your personalized For You page immediately. Because I found that it took a good couple of weeks and using the platform quite a lot to actually have a For You page that I enjoyed and I could discover artists and content creators that I liked.
And one final question on TikTok is... what is the significance of followers, do you think? So with Instagram, the more followers you have, the higher your reach of your existing audience. It's not like that with TikTok, is it? Because if you hit follow, you are not necessarily guaranteed to see the posts from the people you follow.
So what I actually love about the platform... Yeah, 100%. So what people often forget about TikTok is you have two separate sort of news feeds. So you have your For You page, which is the first page that comes up when you open it. But you've also got the following page, which is right next to it at the top, which means you can scroll through content from people that you follow. And when I first downloaded the app, I was like, that's pointless. Who's going to look through people they follow when you can look at endless content, which is entertaining on the For You page?
Yeah.
From using the platform a lot, I've learned that as a consumer, I love that page. What you do is if you use the app a lot, you'll go through the For You page for a while and you'll think, maybe I've seen two or three videos in a row that I weren't a fan of. That kind of pushes you to go onto the following page because you want to look at content you know that you'll love. And how I compare this is when you go to YouTube, you look at your homepage, don't you, for like suggested content.
Yeah.
And you often like queue up videos, you might like check out one video, but most of the time you will go to your subscriptions because you trust that there's videos that you like.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same for TikTok. So I do think it does help the algorithm. Like they're more likely to push you out if you do have a following. However, it doesn't guarantee that you'll get those views. You'll often go to a very popular TikTok account and see that maybe a few videos have got 10,000, 100,000 views, and then there might be a few that only have a couple of thousand views. So it doesn't guarantee that every single video is going to go viral, but it definitely helps. So I think building an audience on there is essential, because the issue with getting one video to go viral is you get that like and then you never see that person again. And for an artist, that's like your worst nightmare. That's like using a PR stunt to get in the media, but then no one actually cares about you after that. So yeah, I think you should always aim for an audience. And the best way to do that is having a consistent theme and being consistent with those uploads.
I think that's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you're going to ask me about TikTok now. I could literally go on about it for days.
I know. Well, it is the most significant platform. And a lot of, A lot of artists I find say, cool, so I create content on TikTok and that means everyone's going to follow me on Instagram, right? That's kind of the end goal.
No.
And I think there is still this obsession that Instagram is the end goal. And I don't think it is the end goal anymore. You can blow up entirely through YouTube, TikTok or Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone just needs to forget about Instagram for a while. All you have to do with Instagram is make sure that your content that is on there is something that people want to follow. Stop trying to hack it. Stop trying to grow your Instagram. Stop following and unfollowing and look at other platforms now, because Instagram, the interest is dying. It's getting very stale and there's other platforms which are giving you a bigger opportunity now. And on that subject as well, I want artists to know that Instagram does just run parallel for a long time and early in an artist's career. So you aren't going to naturally have people from Spotify go and search you from Instagram. I think artists think that if your music is good enough, people want to get updates from you or find out when your next live show is, as if it's like a mailing list. So following an artist to see when the next live show is. And it doesn't work like that. The two work parallel for almost a very long time until you've got like 10 million streams. Then they tend to merge. You start to get in the suggested section of other artists. So when you follow one artist, because those listeners of that artist follow also listen to you, then you are in the suggested bit on Instagram and things like that. That's when it starts to pay dividends to you. So stop stressing about these kind of, you're only got like 200, 300 followers. That's fine. Create content like you've got a million followers, because that will prepare you for when you do have a million followers and you're more likely to get there.
Yeah, something that's also proof of that is if you look at a lot of TikTok stars at the moment and just people that are doing well on the platform. So on your TikTok, you can link your Instagram, and then they also brought in a feature where you could link your YouTube. And I so often find that I will find a TikTok content creator that I love, go to their Instagram, they've only got a couple of thousand followers, go to their YouTube channel, and it's a similar level of people that are engaging with them.
Yeah.
And the reason for this is because if someone loves your TikTok content, it's either funny or it's educational, or I don't know, maybe you're a dancer or you're an artist, they don't want to just see pictures of you. They don't want to just see maybe the same content as TikTok if you're just reusing that content.
Mm.
They want to see more, and the best way to do that is YouTube, because it's long form content. So TikTok content creators have hacked it. They know how it works. They're going to YouTube. They're creating on TikTok as well. And I think the music industry is a little bit behind on that, where they think, okay, Spotify and then Instagram. That's all that matters. Occasionally you might tweet. I don't think it's like that. I think the content creators that are constantly uploading on Instagram just to keep their audience engaged, but focusing on TikTok and YouTube for discovery. I think those are the best two for actually getting discovered by a new audience.
And we hear it so often, artists saying, I want to go viral on TikTok. How do I do it? That's it. That's where we get one line questions. And the truth is, it's you're like playing a lottery, but you've just got to buy as many tickets as possible. People think that the answer is just to buy influencers and pay for influencers to do a dance.
Mm-hmm.
And then that dance is going to trend to your random rock track, or you're a country singer, songwriter. And it's not going to happen. You don't realize how many other people tried that, how many tracks didn't make the cut. But what tends to happen is, and I'm interested to hear your opinion on this as well, because what we find is, and it, actually go to our YouTube channel and watch our video when we are discussing, I'll link it down below, we are discussing how we got an artist to go viral on TikTok, because for me that is how you get viral. You need the original video to get momentum. You need to make that original video and then bring in the influencers and then bring in the trend. And that is how you get your track to go viral. You have to be the person who starts it off, because you're the person who can inject the story. Do you feel that's the case?
100%. And the reason I feel like that is because there have been far too many one-hit wonders. I know that Lil Nas X did phenomenally, and I know his album also did well. I'm not too sure how much more of him we're going to see from now on. He's not the kind of artist that is going to be up there with sort of the current Ed Sheerans and Adele's, because you know the song and that is it.
Yeah.
He did very, very, a very good job of sort of on Twitter posting a lot of memes and engaging with people. But there are so many songs that have gone viral on TikTok, which past that point, no one heard of them again.
Yeah.
And I understand why artists want to go viral on the platform because they see it as short term. You're gonna blow up, but it's the best you're gonna get is a one hit wonder. The time that we got track viral on the platform, we worked with the artist to create a TikTok strategy for their content, and they're now sat with over 100,000 followers. So no matter what she releases, when she releases, what kind of style she wants to release, she's got an audience there. And I think that's the key part. If the trend doesn't come back to you and doesn't give you the opportunity to reach more people, then it's just a track that's gone viral. And anyone could have written that. Yeah, you might get a big paycheck, but who really wants that if you can't ever get that again?
Yeah, going viral can absolutely be a curse for your career. It can end your career. Especially if you're not ready for it. You get a surge of attention and you've got 5 posts on your Instagram. Like I said, be ready for a million followers regardless of what's going on, because you need to be able to capture that audience when they do come.
Yeah, it's similar to, I think you discovered this, that they're like EDM and dance and all of those kind of genres. They get millions and millions and millions of streams, but they've got no engagement on socials. And it's the same for a lot of artists that have TikTok viral tracks. No one's engaging with them. They're just listening to the track, which I think is a lot of artists' dreams, but it's not something where you're going to see sort of long-term growth. It would be a short spike and then that's that.
So have we answered the question then? The answer is TikTok. And when, what to do in lockdown? TikTok, artists need to be on TikTok because the opportunities are there.
Yeah.
And the views are
there. I also think release music. I don't think we've even spoken about that. Release music. A lot of major label artists have either pushed back releases or just completely cut them, and they haven't really announced when they're going to re-release. And for them, it's understandable because the label is investing so much money into it, they need to see a return.
Yeah.
So they need for the artist to go on tour, they need to sell merchandising, like they need to get that money back. For an emerging artist, you have nothing to lose.
What an opportunity.
You've
as
actually,
well.
Yeah, you're competing with less major label artists. You've got more time to create, release and market. It's the best possible time to release. Plus, people want to be able to escape right now. There is so much shit happening in the world. People are stressed. People people are either unemployed or they have nothing to do. There's so much happening. And if you can offer a form of escapism, do it. And I think it also shows that you are fans first rather than sort of like looking at the money side of things, which as an artist, as a fan, you'll be able to see that straight up.
Yeah, and you speak about the things going on in the world. I find a lot of artists, they have a temptation to write songs about what's going on right now and try and piggyback on these causes and on this attention.
Yeah.
And I don't personally like it. I think going back to authenticity, people can smell that you're trying to piggyback off it. Mm-hmm. And I would stay away from it. And actually, like you say, give people an outlet to escape it just for a little while in your music, and that's going to work for you.
Yeah, we've spoken about in a video before reactive marketing, and this is basically the idea of something that's like trending in the world, or maybe a certain hashtag or a topic, something that's happening which a lot of people can know about and can relate to. And reactive marketing is just like taking something and reacting accordingly so it markets you. And obviously a lot of people done this with coronavirus. Who was it? Was it Nicki Minaj? No, Cardi B that did the coronavirus song. And she basically did an Instagram live, I think it was, talking about coronavirus. Someone remixed it. Mm-hmm. They officially released it and it blew up. That was good reactive marketing because it was real. She did an Instagram live and someone remixed it and it was really funny.
And she's What's in a not, position to make an impact as well.
Oh yeah, 100%. What's not reactive marketing is writing a song called coronavirus and then hoping that people are going to search it and you'll come up.
Yeah,
there's a difference between sort of piggybacking, like you said, but also actually doing something because you care about it and also making it specific to you and your audience.
Yeah,
because it doesn't work just doing like lockdown sessions and things like that because no one cares and it's not adding value in any way. I think it's just treading carefully around it, but also not using it to your advantage, doing it because it makes sense to you and your brand and your audience.
Completely agree.
So that's our first lockdown podcast done, probably right at the end of when lockdown's going to finish as well.
What do you think's going to happen? How long do you think we've got left?
Well, we're all working from home at the moment because there's no point us all going into the office. We're a small team. Everyone works great from home. We have Zoom. So I don't think we'll be in the office for, I don't know, a month,
two months. I think this could go on another 3 months. I think.
Yeah, I reckon we won't be in the office till September. Yeah, probably. Music, I don't think there'll be any sort of major, like arenas and stuff like that open till next year.
Yeah.
Like March, April, maybe. I don't know about small venues because I have spoken to a lot of artists at the moment that have booking agents who are booking them gigs for October in like pubs and small venues. And for me, that's mind-boggling.
I don't get that.
But pubs are starting to open in the next month or so. So if they're opening them, they're obviously going to allow music as well. So we'll see. And fingers crossed, artists can sort of start to, even if that is very small venues, just start to play live again. It would be really interesting to see if they open small venues, if larger artists are going to do like small exclusive gigs, or whether they're going to hold off, only do the larger ones because then they can guarantee they'll sell them out. I don't know which one they're going to do, but I'd love to see them do small ones because that would show that they're fan first.
Very true. I don't know if that'll happen, but
I don't think it will, because I think the labels will probably say like, no, we need to sell these out. However, a lot of them have already sold out and they've just pushed back the dates. How amazing would it be if they started doing sessions and stuff and like really small pubs?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be great.
Yeah,
it'd be like Lewis Capaldi when he broke, but he had like a very small tour booked, so he had to still play them all.
I would love that. Again, bringing them back down to where emerging artists are right now. It's all square one, so get releasing, guys.
Yeah. Cool. I really enjoyed doing this. We'll have to do another one next week.
Definitely,
as well.
Yeah. And get more team members involved as well.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, if you enjoyed the podcast, make sure to leave it a review. I think we've got a few of those now. Thanks for that. And definitely check us out on YouTube and on Instagram. Give us a follow, and we'll see you in the next one.